Welcome to the Walking Through Time podcasts. There are plenty more to make your visit to New Norfolk more enjoyable.
Well, we first came to New Norfolk and we had a flat in Charles Street. I think it belonged to old Mrs. Cannell, and directly opposite that, the Sharon family built three new shops. So I moved into one of those and established a retail business. I was also contracting at the same time. So I was pretty busy. I think I was in my 20s then, and establishing a retail business and a contracting business and so on. There's one thing I remember, that shop in Charles Street, I had it well stocked, and one Friday night I locked it up. On Sunday night I remembered I needed something out of the shop, and I went over and the keys were still hanging in the door. Now, this is how things have changed over the years. So that shop was open the whole weekend and nobody went near it. The keys were hanging in the door, and that was it. So imagine that happening today. After that I moved to Eric Hall built these nice new shops in High Street, and I moved up into there. Ian Hall had the little milk bar right next to the theatre. Then there was the shop that I took over. There was Ethel Crane's chemist shop and Jack Roberts hairdressing. Come chainsaws. he was a hairdresser, but he sold chainsaws and lawnmowers and all sorts of things.
Did he sell them in the shop?
Yes. There was a funny story about evidently some chap went into Jack and wanted a shave. So Jack lathered him up, and then somebody came in and wanted a lawnmower. So Jack left the poor bloke all lathered up. And Jack was away for about 15 minutes trying to sell the lawnmower, and the bloke hopped up out of the chair with his face lathered up and went up to Cyril Chick to finish the shave. I had John Craw, who was a technician in the Air Force, and he came and worked for me. John did all the maintenance and helped with sales and installations, and we covered the whole area with some areas were really hard to get reception, so we fitted up an old Volkswagen Combi with a huge aerial up the side and a 12-volt TV monitor with a field strength meter on it, and we'd drive around farms trying to get reception there. that were good times with the when TV started. We had to go to Mount Lloyd. I made a sale of a television set up there, and the lady came out with a huge tray covered in 2 shilling pieces, and the cost of the TV set was about £300. So you could imagine the amount of coinage that was on that tray. But she had them all, the 2 shilling pieces, all packed in the old Acto baking tins. And I had a whole tray full of them. So I couldn't count them there. It would have taken me half a day. So I took her word for it. She said there's £300 worth there. So I put them on the seat of the Volkswagen. Coming down Mount Lloyd, I had to put the brakes on, and the whole tray and all these tins of coins went scattered all over the front, all over the floor of the Volkswagen. So I went to, I pulled up in the back of the shop, and Peg Lappin was working for me at the time, and I said, Peg, can you go out to the car? The money's in the front of the Volkswagen. So she came back, and I think she got a broom and a little spade thing to collect them all, and it took her hours to count all these 2 shilling pieces. I had about 3 Volkswagen Combis, because one was sort of used for deliveries from the shop, and then I had 2 on the road for contracting. And we used to go right up as far as Austerley up in the valley. I don't think there was an electrician at Ooze at the time. Later on, Jack Parsons started a business there. And as far as down the peninsula, all over the place. There were lots of places where the power hadn't reached, like places like Mount Lloyd. And I think I had the contract to wire nearly every house on Mount Lloyd. Simpson brought out a new, it was the ringer type of washer, the bowl and the power ringer on the top. And Simpson made a big noise about you couldn't get caught in the rollers, because if your fingers touched the rollers, you pushed and it released. So that was okay. A lady came in to buy one, and so I'll show you how this ringer is so safe. So I started the ringer up, and I put my hands in, and I pushed, and it didn't release. So there's my fingers and hands going through the rollers, and then it started to turn on my skin, and imagine what happened. And I called out to Peg, release, release me. What I didn't realise that the washing machine was on a polished floor. And, of course, when I pushed, it just moved across the floor. It didn't stay still. So it grabbed me, and Peg came and released the lever, and Mac Malt, who was the Mercury reporter at the time. So there was a funny bit in the paper the next day. Shop assistant releases a salesman from washing machine. I used to do a lot of, did all the maintenance for the prison farm at Hayes. I remember one day, Romney Cricket, he was the manager at the time. If I was on my own, he would say, well, do you want a prisoner to go and help you? So I'd select one of these prisoners, and we had to go down to the pump house one day. I took this guy down with me, and I used to wear blue overalls with a pocket where you used to slide a rule, one of those fold-up rules. And I had a brand new one in my pocket that day. And I went home that night and took my overalls off, and this crummy old broken rule fell out of my pocket. Old battered old thing with a hinge broken. And next day I said to the manager, I told him what had happened. He said, oh, he said, you took the best pickpocket we've got on the Jaffa. He was some pickpocket, I can tell you.
Okay, tell us a little bit about Rotary.
We used to meet every Monday night. It was a very, very good club, the New Norfolk one. We had 40 members, which was, you know, really good for a small town. And I was, at one stage, I was president of the club and served on the district committee with Dr. John Thorne, who was the district governor at the time. And we used to go to, I represented Southern Tasmania, and we used to have to select students to go overseas on 1 year term in another country. And that was very interesting. We had lots of applications, and the scholarships were worth around about $30,000. That was a nice part of it. Another time the Vietnamese boat people were arriving in Australia in a pretty big way at the time, and I suggested that we sponsor a couple of these boat people. And it was really satisfying, because I got a couple who had left Vietnam, went to Hong Kong and into a camp there. And we contacted through the immigration department. We allocated these two people. I said, yes, you can have these two. So we got them down. At the time, we had an empty house in Hackett Street, so we gave them the house. And they were lovely people. They were both school teachers. She was a primary school teacher, and he was a high school teacher. Hung and Lay, they were lovely people. But it was really moving. They arrived in Hobart Airport with two of these plastic coloured bags, you know, those things you buy at the supermarket. That was all the belongings they had in the world. And We took them home and set them up in the house. And years, not so many years ago, we visited these two Vietnamese in Richmond in Melbourne. They're two little kids. When they arrived here, they were two little kids. One of them has just finished a university degree, and the second one was training to be a doctor. So it was a wonderful result, you know. So.
The Walking Through Time project has been made possible through the assistance of the Australian Government's Your Community Heritage Program and funding from the Derwent Valley Council. We would like to thank the many members of the public who have given freely of their thoughts and memories to make this project a success.